All right, we'll be in John chapter number 21 tonight. A couple of quick things. Just a reminder for the children, there'll be a brief 10-minute practice right after the service in here, getting ready for the Christmas Eve service. Those that are singing, it's those who are in patch or they're not in patch and you're grade school age and you want your children to sing. So right after the service, we'll say about 5 minutes after, bring them down front and we'll have a brief practice with them. And then Christmas Gift for Jesus, it's open over the next couple weeks. So if you haven't given yet, you'd like to, you can always just go online. Or if you give it all in the offering over the next couple weeks, just make note of it on the offering plate. You know, this is for Christmas Gift for Jesus. So we know that. We're going to be looking at these verses. It's a well-known story. I've preached out of sections of this story, even going past where we ended off reading before. But there's a thought in here that I want to share with us tonight. The word yes is very important. Some of the great things that have happened in our lives happened because we said yes, right? One of them we can think of right off the bat is salvation. Jesus offered salvation to us, told us how we can be saved, and we just very simply tell him yes, and we received his gift. For most people, their wedding date is a good yes, okay? It should be for everybody. You remember that date. I hope you do. If not, you're in trouble, guys. Whenever we celebrate anniversaries in our adult class, I just ask them, like, look at the husband, say, no, wife, don't help him. How many years have you been married? And you know what? Every husband, I think all of them have got the right answer. But then I ask them the second question. How many of those years have been happy? Okay, he was, see, that's the response I get in Sunday school every single time. Smart guys say all of them, all right? Some guys say the 2 years we were courting also, so they're just trying to score some brownie points. Some of our biggest disappointments in life could be because we did not say yes. Maybe it was a good decision we should have made. I heard someone talk about the clip once, but in 2013, a guy went on the internet and he was begging people to make an investment. And I saw the guy, it looked like he was filming from his mom's bedroom, okay? And he's like begging, I'm like, you have to invest in this. He goes, if you don't trust me, just at least put $1 in. You know what he was talking about? He was talking about Bitcoin. Now, I looked it up. I'm like, when he said, I got the date on there. I'm like, okay, when he said invest in Bitcoin, how much was it worth? Are you ready? It was worth $120. I did some math, if it's still where it's at today. That means for every dollar, if someone listened to him, for every dollar they invested in Bitcoin, they earned $900. How many of you would take that right there in a heartbeat? Could we all just go back in time? Man, we could build a bigger building, and we could build a parking garage, and we could do all that. But I didn't know his YouTube channel, or I would have done it. He never contacted me. So yes is a good thing, depending on what it is. I want you to see in our scripture tonight a yes, okay? Something we ought to say yes to. Now, we know where this story is at as we're at the end of the Gospel of John. It's after the resurrection of Jesus and his appearance to disciples. So they head back to Galilee. And Jesus' work was not done after that. We know that. And he told them he was going to meet them in Galilee. So we know that the disciples were slow to catch on to the things that Jesus told them. When he tried to tell him, leading up to his death, hey, you know, that's coming and I'm you know, and trying to let them know he's going to die and all so forth, they didn't quite get it. In fact, at one time, Peter actually rebuked Jesus, like, no, that's not the plan. And then another time when he came to him and said, hey, listen, you know, when I'm arrested, you're all going to forsake me. Of course, all of them again, no, that would never, ever, ever happen. And of course, we know it did. So after Christ's resurrection and they're waiting for him, some time passes. And so Peter seems to get restless and he makes a decision to go back to what he knew best, fishing. He told them, I'm going to go fishing. Now, this wasn't a hobby to him. Peter was a commercial fisherman. If you're just fishing for relaxation, you take a pole, You go out to a lake or you go out to a river and you cast it, you know, and you try to catch it one at a time. That's kind of the sport in it. But he went back to the commercial. He took some nets. And so he goes out, and the bad thing is he doesn't go by himself. He takes six other disciples with him. And it could have been a dangerous time. It could have been a time that was pushing him away from God's will and pushing him back to the things that he used to do in the past, to the career that he had in his past. Fishing was something that he had given up so he can pursue what Jesus Christ wanted him to do. In fact, when they called him, it's like, look, I'm calling you to be a fisher of men. I want you to put that away, and I got something better for you. And we referenced that this morning. So he takes these other six, and they go. And, of course, they go out all night, and you catch nothing. Now, by the way, I'm not a big-time fisherman. I do like to go every now and then, make sure I take Brother Ross, because Brother Ross knows where the fish are, and Brother Ross knows how to catch them. And so, Brother Ross, here's my pole. What do I got to do here? Show it to me, and we'll have a really good time. But I know the worst fishing trips are the ones where you go and you don't catch anything. How many know what I'm talking about? I've been on some where not only did you not catch anything, you weren't even getting bites. And it's like, what are we doing here, right? I mean, I didn't go out. I'm a little impatient, and I don't mind it, but I got to be catching them. I mean, we got to be bringing them in. So these guys are out all night, and they catch nothing. And then they hear a voice from the shore. And he asks them, hey, you catch anything? And it's like, no. And the voice from the shore says, cast your net on the other side of the boat. And so they obey, and they throw it on the other side of the ship, and they catch a whole bunch of fish. And then they finally realize, like, hey, that's the Lord. What I want us to notice, though, from this story, what we're going to look at, there's two things Jesus said to them, one of them in verse 5 and the other in verse 6, and I want us to see them. Look at verse 5. It's a question. Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? It's like, how's it going? How's fishing? 6 is a command. And then he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Now, there's a question to answer in verse 5, and there's also a command to be answered in verse 6. The question in verse 5 was answered. They answered him, no. All their effort was worthless. Going back to what I used to do because I'm kind of confused and maybe a little tired of waiting and maybe a little impatient, it didn't work out. We didn't catch anything. And then there's a command that they gave a verbal answer to in verse 6. When he said, cast on the other side of the ship, they cast therefore. And now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. So they didn't have to verbally answer that one. That was answered with action. And the answer was a yes. And now the nets were no longer empty. They were completely full. Verse 5 represents the wrong answer in life. No. That represented a wrong decision. But don't even think of going back to what you were doing before. It represented really wasted effort. They caught nothing. And by the way, these weren't novices. Are you with me? Yeah. These were guys that did this for a living. They know where to go. They knew where to go, but God was not in what they were doing. And then it represented wrong results. But the right answer was yes. The yes changed things. The yes brought results. The yes brought them back to recognizing Jesus in their life. And that is true of us today. Yes to God's commands, yes to God's will is the only answer that brings results in life. That's it. Anything else is going to bring a no. Jesus called them away from fishing and they went back to it. That was a no. But when they listened to him, even though they didn't realize it was him, but when they listened and put their nets on the other side, the yes brought the results in life. So you know what the question, the message is tonight? Yes. We got to say yes. We got to get away from the no's in life. So how do we get to the right decision, the right answer in life, which is a yes? There are 6 things we need to understand about saying yes. You ready? We'll go quickly. First, that means there's an abandoning of the plan. Verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. See, this whole thing started when Peter came up with his own plan. And his plan was to do that which he probably should not have done. That's how we make our plans. We know what God wants sometimes, but we sit down in our own wisdom and we try to come up with our own solutions and we try to come up with our own plans that we think make a lot of sense, and we go on our merry way and they don't work out. You know why? Because Proverbs nails it. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, we just don't know everything. We don't know the future. We don't know how things are to play out, but the Lord knows what is to play out. And we can't just sit there apart from God and make our own plan. It's like James chapter 4. Go to now, you that, you know, when you read James, he comes up with this business plan. We're going to go to a certain city. We're going to buy and sell and do all this. And if you read through James chapter 4, if you know what I'm talking about, it seems like a really good business plan. But the only thing is, they didn't ask, is this the will of God? And so often that's what we do. We come up with our own plans, and sometimes it's because of discouragement or because of what they had went through, and those plans are not always the best plans. We might want to run them by God. But sometimes we get started and we need to abandon. It was a very bad idea. It's amazing how sometimes what we think is a really good idea is very ignorant. Now, this is really worst case scenario. In 1995, there was a man in Pittsburgh, and he robbed two banks in one day. Now, what was unusual about this is he didn't even bother to wear a mask. And not only that, he didn't even care that there was a camera watching him. The police were baffled because during both of them, he walked right up and looked right into the camera. Guess what happened? A very short time later, that day, they went and knocked on his door and arrested him. Yeah. And he says, and when they arrested him, he's like, I don't get it. I mean, I used the juice. They're like, what are you talking about? See, he had read somewhere that lemon juice helps things disappear. You know what I'm talking about? Like if you write on paper with lemon juice, it's like the invisible ink. And he figured in his mind, if I put lemon juice on, the camera won't see me. Guess what? The camera did. And he went to jail. You know, now that's a very ignorant individual. But let me just say this. Sometimes I wonder if our plans seem like that to God. Like, God's like, really? Are you that? I don't think you would say it. Are you really that dumb that you think that that's a really good life plan? How can you make sure your plan's not bad? Don't follow your plan. Follow God's plan. You will never end up with the result of a yes if you're following a no plan. The only good thing about their plan was this. Are you ready? They were willing to abandon it the second they realized that it was a wrong thing. They were willing to give it up right away. Throw your net on the other side. By the way, we all have pride inside of us, right? Like, you know, I fished all night, and it's like, there's just no fish out here. Throw your net on the other side of the... Man, they fished all night, and that's not a small task. They were tired. They had already pulled the nets in, and when you pull them in, you take care of them, and you clean them up. And they're asking them to start over. It's like, come on, we're professional fishermen. It's just not our night. There's no fish there. But they just cast it over anyhow. The only worse thing than having a bad plan is sticking to it when it's not working. Sometimes we need to be willing to say, you know what, I think I need to move on and do something else. Not only was the plan bad, it was a horrible influence. He took six other people with him. You know, and I've mentioned before, I won't spend a lot of time on it, but our plans and our decisions don't just affect us. You know, if you're married, your decisions affect your family. It just does. And it is the height, and it's just, It's just beyond belief how selfish we can be to do something and try to blame, well, it's just my life and I'll do it. You have children, you have a spouse, that's just ridiculous. Well, I won't, you know, it's not going to influence them. It can. Peter was a leader, you know that, right? You know, in the book of Acts, it's the Acts of two men, primarily, Peter and Paul. And when Peter moved on, it was like, well, let's just go do what Peter's doing. We influence our family and our relatives. By the way, we ought to influence them for the right. We influence our testimony and our service. People look at us like, and it should not be the case, but it is. And we're supposed to own it. You know, we're supposed to be the light of the world, but people equate Jesus with our lives. That's just how it is. But also, we don't think about this very often, but it also negatively affects and influences our God and our Savior. Yeah. See, we bring dishonor to him. We break his heart. And so it was just a really, really bad plan. And they were willing to abandon it. Secondly, though, if we're going to abandon it, the second thing we need to see is you got to answer the question. Look at verse 5. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. Now, let me just say this. Jesus did not need to ask them the question. I want you to know that. He could have just said, hey, try throwing your net on the other side. But he took the extra step to ask them the question. Why is that? Because asking questions causes us to reflect on the answer. Yep. He wanted them to think about it.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you have any meat? It's like, no. I mean, you're fishermen. Isn't that what you're supposed to be doing? Right? And so sometimes we try to not answer the questions of life. Questions are important. In the 1980 presidential election, there was a famous debate between Reagan and Carter. Reagan, probably, Carter's very happy. He was, for a long time, considered the worst president of all time, but I think he's not anymore. But how many of you were alive during Carter's presidency? Interest rates were 20%. Not on that credit card you get, they're all like that, okay? It wasn't just high gas prices. Half the time, there wasn't any gas. How many remember the lines?
Oh, yeah.
Odd and even. If your license plate ended with an even number, you got to get gas on even number days. If it was an odd number, you got it on number days, but you had to go to a gas station that had a green flag because sometimes it had a red flag, they didn't have gas. We lived down the street from a Stop and Go that had a gas station, and the cars would be lined up all the way down the block waiting in line to get gas. It was a bad, and then our hostages were in Iran for over a year. And so during the debate, they kind of let them get to the end and say, you know, state your case. And Reagan basically sealed the deal with this question. He said, in essence, he said it not exactly like this, but this is what he said. If you feel that you're better off now than you were 4 years ago, vote for him. But if you don't think you're better off than you were 4 years ago, vote for me. I think he won every state but two. He's trying to get them to reflect. Hey, guys, what are you doing out there? What's going on? How are things working out for you? What does that mean? That means we have to be honest with ourselves.
Yep.
See, most people, we keep the no life and we don't go to the yes life because we're just not honest with ourselves. We're not willing to sit down in life and evaluate it and how's it going? Are things in my life better now than they were a few years ago? Let me say this, you ready? Now I'm not talking about, sometimes we have up and downs, but look at your spiritual life and let me ask you this question. Is your spiritual life at its best now? Or was there a time in the past when it was way better? We don't want to be honest with ourselves. Some people quit serving. Some people quit soul winning. Some people quit tithing. And it's because they usually quit reading their Bible. They quit being faithful. They're not living the right way like they did before. And if they were honest and they took a minute to reflect, things were better. So then if they're willing to admit things were better, then they have to ask the second question. Why? Because my lifestyle was better. Because my commitment level was better. So you gotta ask the question, how are things going on in your life? Look at your life. And I'm not talking about the fake things that only others see, right? the social media blitz thing. You know, we have these lives and we have this imaginary, and not saying we use social media, but that's just the picture. Social media like advertisement for our life. You know, social media, most people, some people do, they don't get up there and you know, show you the bad things. They show you the good things. They don't show you the train wrecks. So what's going on? Is there drama in your life that you've just become used to? Well, I'm just used to it. You know, I can live with it. Why live with it when you can ditch it?
Yep. Amen.
Or is your life starting to revolve around stuff that has no eternal value? Was it better before? Or do you want something better in the future? What about the things that really matter? Your relationship with God. Fulfilling God's purpose in your life. And all these other things. So you got to answer you have to be willing to step back and look at your life honestly. Number three, if you'll do that, then you'll do number three, you'll adjust the nets. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. I've already mentioned that. That took a lot of effort. And by the way, the problem wasn't the nets. The problem was where they placed them.
Yep.
Jesus is trying to say, you placed the nets without my blessing, and you got nothing. Now you can place the nets somewhere else with my blessing, and you're going to like the results.
Yep.
So are you willing to adjust? You see, you get to the point where it's like, you know, my plan's not working, and I'm being honest with myself. Things aren't as good as they should be or as good as they could be. So you need to take logically that next step that says, what do I need to do? What do I need to adjust to get to that place? Because some people, believe it or not, they get to the place in their life where they're just comfortable with all of that. And there's no need to be.
Yep.
Are you willing to adjust your nets? There are many things in your life that are not the problem in and of themselves. They only become a problem when they keep you from God's plan for your life. There was nothing wrong with them going out, but I believe they were taking a step towards that becoming a problem in the will of God, and God wanted to get their attention. There's nothing wrong with having a career, but are you allowing your career to interfere with your Christianity? Are you allowing your career to interfere with your family? There's nothing wrong with that. But there is if it goes that far. It could be a relationship. It could be you're hanging around with some people and they're just not good for you spiritually. We have to be very careful because that diverts us from the way that God wants us to go. Could be a hobby, just something you like that's so important to you. You take it beyond the priority level it ought to have in your life. Here's our problem. And I mentioned this morning, sometimes we just don't want to change. We'll answer the question. We know there needs to be a change. We know that we're living the no life right now, but we're not willing to do what it takes to get us to the yes, which is a very simple thing to do. And you know what's worse yet? Sometimes we make changes, but just a little bit. Right? It's like he said, your net is on the complete opposite side of the boat. I mean, it's not like you're over there and you need to be over there. They could have just adjusted it a few feet. No, they had to make a complete change. Don't bring your plans into God's plan. Einstein said this, insanity is doing the same thing the same way and expecting different results. It's just not going to work. Next, you need to accept the terms. You need to accept the terms. In verse 6, He said, do what I tell you to do. So what did they do? They accepted his terms. They cast their four, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Because they were honest and realized they needed to change, they were willing to change, and listen to this, without a debate. No argument. No, like, do we really have to do it right now in that way? They did straight up, full on, write what he said immediately. They just accepted the terms. Do you know when you sign a contract, you might want to read it. There are terms in there. Anybody remember the commercials we did years ago for people like you? That's old school. There was a company and we bought these commercials off of them. And so I was negotiating with them and I got them. I found these commercials. Pastor wanted to run them on the local cable here. And I think it was Charter at the time. And so I got the contract. We negotiated the price of the commercials. It was going to be great. And then I was reading the terms of the contract, and I read something there I didn't like. It said that company we bought the commercials from, if you signed the contract, they're the ones that negotiated the price with the cable company. And then I read the fine print. It said whatever the cost was, we had to pay 15% of that amount to them for negotiating for us. So I called the guy. I said, no. He goes, nope, that's what you have to do. I'm like, so if you're getting 15%, what is going to motivate you to get the best price? And he was really quiet. And I said, either you take that out or we're done. And he took it out. And I went to Charter on my own, and I negotiated a better price than he had, and they gave us double the commercials. But see, here's what we do. We do that with God.
Come on.
Do you know he doesn't have any fine print?
Yeah, amen.
It's all good in his contract.
Yep, amen.
But you know what? It's like we mess up that which is good. We can't just say, here's what he said, just accept it, just run with it, and it will work out. Give him some credit. They did exactly what he said. They didn't argue about it, and they could have. Accept his terms. Don't negotiate with God. Well, God, I will do this in my life if you do this. Why does he have to prove he's right? Well, Gideon, okay, that was God's grace. All right? Like, you know, I want the dew on the fleece. Oh, and then the next morning, it's like, okay, that's easy. So next time I know what to do on the fleece. You know, God, if you do this for me, I'll serve you with the rest of my days. Why did you have to get to that point? Why don't you just say, Lord, I'm in a bad place and I deserve everything that I'm getting, but I'm going to just trust you, Lord. I'm going to start doing the best I can and I'm going to follow you. You say, should we have a contract with God? Yes, and here's what it is. Give him the blank sheet, let him fill it in and just sign the bottom. We had to accept his terms. You know, well, what about compromises? He doesn't want your compromise. That's not how he works. We need to just accept what he's telling us and go forward. Next, verse 7, we need to acknowledge the Lord. Therefore, verse 7, the disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded on his fisherman's coat, for he was naked, and he wasn't completely clothed, he wasn't being goofy, and did cast himself into the sea. You know, it's funny, here's how they acknowledge the Lord, and it's okay, this is where they were at. After the good things happened, they realized it was the Lord. Now for us, it ought to be the other way. We acknowledge the Lord, and then the good things come. We shouldn't make God prove himself to us. Fact of the matter is, when we're doing our own plans, you know what we're doing, especially as a Christian? We may say we're acknowledging the Lord, but we're actually disavowing him in a sense, not in a complete way. We're just saying, you know, I know it's better for my life. Instead of just saying, Lord, you're the Lord. This all happened because of you. We need to acknowledge him. God deserves acknowledgement before the results. It's very simple. You say, I don't have a live verse. Here's two. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Okay, Lord, I'm just trusting you. Lean not unto thine own understanding. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to ignore me. Those are two really good plans. In all thy ways acknowledge him, okay? And everything I do, Lord, it's you. and he shall direct thy paths. Yeah. We want him to direct our paths, but we don't want to trust in him. We don't want to acknowledge him, and we want to follow our own plan. And you know what we do? Here's what we do. Lord, here's what I want to do. Can you just put your stamp of approval? You know, I'm not trying to get less counseling sessions, but I don't need more. But people come in sometimes and they have their own plan in life, and what they want is they want me to, they have enough spirituality, they want someone to say that it's a good plan. I mean, I'm talking about. They'll come in and just tell me, here's what I'm doing. Now, let me share how this works to save all of us some time. If you have your plan and you're just telling me, you can tell me in the hallway. I don't need to meet with you in the office. That's okay. Just let me know what you're doing. I wish you well. But, you know, sometimes we have these things in our life and we might want to say, hey, am I missing something? It seems like this is what God wants me to do. Is there something in here I'm missing? Instead, we want to stand, and I know people that have come, and not lately, but, you know, they'll come see me, and they don't ask a question. It's like, okay, you're doing that. I hope that works out for you. I'm not going to argue with them. Then they go, oh, yeah, pastor said it was a great idea. Pastor did not. Okay. Depending on, now, some people come in, I'm close enough to them, where they'll tell me something. I'm like, you know what I think of that idea? It's really bad. And I'll tell them why. But you know, we do that with God, and it doesn't work with God. God, this is what I want, and I want you to acknowledge this. Okay. Don't work. Why don't we come to him and say, Lord, what do you want? Lord, I'm kind of thinking that this might be the idea, but I don't want to trust in my own understanding. What does God think? You haven't prayed about it. Okay. You haven't searched the scriptures. You haven't asked some trusted people in your life that are spiritual if what they think about it. And sometimes it's a good plan, but we don't think some things through. Maybe there's some things in the plan that need to be adjusted we didn't think about. But let's acknowledge the Lord in everything, because he will direct our lives. And then lastly, and we're done. Assess the fruit. Assess the fruit. Look at verse 11. And Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of fishes, 153. I preached a message a long time ago, 153, what that meant, but anyhow. For all there were so many, yet was the net brought not broken. You ever wondered? All they had to say was a great host of fish. Why did they give us a number? Why did Peter look at it? There's a lot of reasons, but it kind of represented obedience to the Lord. He was assessing the situation. Now, wait a minute. Let's do some mental math here. Are you with me? Okay. The Lord said, put the net over here, and let's just chalk this up. 153. Okay. All last night, many professional fishermen went, counting the other two, zero. 153 to zero. If that was a basketball score, that wouldn't be very good. You know what he was saying? There's the fruit right there. I did what I did, and I got nothing. I did what he did, and I got the net barely could hold the fish that we got. Can I just tell you something before you start making decisions? You might want to see where those decisions lead to. Amen. and I don't want this to be mean, okay, at all. You might want to avoid making a decision based on advice from a Christian who's not close to God. You want another one? A Christian who's bitter. I used to go to that church. And can I say this? And it's a public service announcement. Don't come talk to me. We don't have a lot of this, thankfully. We got a good church and good. But sometimes people leave. Get on social media and say something about our church. And you know what's funny? That's not the real reason. That's not the story. But I'm not going to tell you the story because I'm Christian. Okay, I'm not. I could be mean-spirited to people, and I'm not. It's not my thing in life. And by the way, if someone leaves our church, you know what I want for them? Go find another church. A church like ours that preaches the word of God, and maybe it wasn't whatever, go be blessed by God. I don't care if they're here. Why? I mean, I care. I love them. But you know what I'm saying. Yep. I'm not like, well, you left our church, man, you know, anathema. No. Go serve Lord. Amen. I hope it turns out well for you. Amen. But if you're getting advice from people, you know, we get advice from unsaved people. It's amazing. The guy when I work, the guy's in the break room, he's giving this other guy marriage advice, and I'm sitting there eating my lunch, and I'm thinking, he's on his third wife. And he's going to tell you, and the other guy's telling you how to raise their kids, and his kid's in jail. I'm thinking, you're going to listen to that? Access the fruit. Okay? Look at people that have been solid for serving God for a very long time, and see if they're happy. See how their marriage is going.
Come on.
See how their, no family's perfect, amen? Okay? But see how their family is. See how their life's going. And say, that's the fruit I want. Don't listen, these young kids that are doing their own thing and going a different direction. When I was that age, I had them like that. Oh, you know, blah, 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 and they go in that direction. It's like, third wife, kids all over the place, you know, just nothing but drama. I'm glad I just stuck it out.
Yep.
You'll be glad too.
Access
the fruit. Don't take a step back. Because when you take a step back, you're on your way to a no life. Right? So here's what will happen. You'll want a church with less commitment. And by the way, we preach the truth and we tell it, but whether or not you take it, that's between you and God. I'm not going to go knock on your door. I remember years ago, I was soul winning. I knocked on a door. And the lady said, come in. I'm like, that's kind of weird. You know, I was on the bus route. She let me in. She goes, I know why you're here. I'm like, okay, she's had a soul winner before, amen? She goes, you're here about my tithe. I'm like, no, not to hear about that. She goes, what are you here for? I'm like, I want to talk to you about, you know, Jesus. She goes, okay. And I started witness to her, and she's like, reality kicked in, like, wait a minute. You're not from my church. I'm like, no, I never said I was, but what church is it that they knock on your door because you're not tithing? Because to be honest with you, I don't have enough time to hit all those doors. Let me just tell you right now. I'm kidding. I didn't know there was churches out there. Like, they knock on your door if you don't tithe? Whew, that'll kick the offerings up. I don't know. But it's like, we want a church with less commitment. You know, we don't have evening services. That's family time. You're not spending time with the family. Come on. Spend time with your family in church. We're talking about an hour and a half. I know, we don't want to be too radical for Jesus. I get it. You want a life that has less righteousness. No convictions, no standards. And you need to just look at the Bible. And if the Bible says something's wrong, you might want to just fence yourself in to make sure you walk down that path.
That's right.
You want a life that has less serving. You know, I'll come to church, but, you know, I won't witness. I don't want to get involved. You know, I want a life that has less faithfulness. You know, I'll come, but I'm kind of hit and miss. You know what I want? I want a yes life.
Amen.
That's all I want. Amen. I want a life where I just say, Lord, here, you tell me what it is, and I'm not going to argue. And I fall short, by the way, okay? I'm sure you know that. You fall short too, but we keep going.
Yep.
I want the yes life. I don't want the no life. So what life is yours today? Maybe you're here and things are going well because you're living the yes life. Keep it up. Maybe you're here and you're kind of new about it and you've never really taken the step to say, you know, I'm just going to go yes. Go for it. Maybe you're here and you're kind of in between, right? You were yes and no's are starting to slip in. Maybe you just need to refortify and say, I'm going for the yes. If Peter can do that, you and I can. And Peter did worse, right? Because we're human. And so we need to be very careful. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute. Let's stand if we may. Every head bowed, every eye closed just for a minute. How's your life going tonight? By the way, you know what part of church is? And we're all at different spiritual levels. Some are at super high levels, some are medium, blah, 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 whatever. You know what church is? It's listening to the word of God, and it's constantly helping us to assess our life, to look at our plan. How are things going? And you know, most of us in here, you're Sunday night, most of you are doing pretty good, but you know, no matter how good we're doing, there's always little small areas we need to adjust, right? We may have a bunch of yeses, but there's a couple areas that are starting to go no, and God's like, come on now, your attitude, can we fix that? Maybe it's in your relationship, your family. God, got to adjust that. We got to tweak it. We always need that. That's what church is all about. But maybe you're not living the yes life. You're doing the no. And by the way, you can do the no for a while and things will be okay, but the carpet will come out from under you. Maybe you're living the yes life and there's just small things. You just need to make sure your guard is always up. Maybe you've been yes and no. You're kind of back and forth. I don't know what God spoke to you about tonight. The piano's going to play. If God spoke to you, why don't you come? Let's stay in the yes lane.